Howard, Real Nine. You mentioned the Tiddim Road. Was it a road as such?
The first part was sort of quite a good road. But the rest of it was only sort of a track. You get landslides and you would get held, the main advance down the road would get held up because of landslides, wasn't it? No, it wasn't a good road from Infall for the first 10 miles, perhaps hot up, wasn't too bad, but once you started to go up and around into towards Tiddim itself, it was really just a car track, really.
Could vehicles use it?
And the main thing there they had, if I remember, was four-wheel jeeps. They must have had some sort of transport. On occasions they had a tractor, you know, to rebuild the road.
A bulldozer?
Bulldozer. Only a small one. But they must have had that on a low load or something or other. But it was difficult, I can tell you. That's why we had the mule.
And you said it was the same flanking movements until you got down to, was it Kaliwa you got down as far
Kaliwa,
as?
Kaliwa, yeah. What was that? There was a fault. Can't think of the name now. After Kennedy Peak, we went to...
Is it Fort George?
Fort... I can't remember, anyway. It was going down towards Kaliwa, anyway. And apart from the weather being a bit naughty at times, we didn't have a bad trip, except that we had to do all these flanking movements to gain a few miles, I suppose. But with us, my company, C Company, we never really had to meet a big bunch of Japs. Again, we were lucky. The odd occasion, we had a casualty. We never had anybody killed going down here. Because, again, if you did get casualties, it's a job to get them out. I mean, it's bad enough for us going down. But
how would they evacuate casualties?
Oh dear, they'd get them on the jeep if they could. They used to have two stretchers. If I remember right, they have a couple of stretchers on the jeep and put them on and take them away. But, as I said, fortunately, we never had too many casualties. It was all this necessary left and right forks that had to be done. When you really think about it, as we've said, it was the right. Whoever was in command was doing the right thing.
And did you get to Kaliwa itself?
In actual fact, we flew out from Kaliwa. They'd made an airstrip there, and Dakotas. The Yanks were flying in the Dakotas. And there was just enough room for them to come in. And we were flown out from there to Infall. I remember going over the valley. I think it must have been the Cabor Valley because we were so low because if you flew too high, there was a possibility of Japs aircraft. But we flew low over this and you could see the tracks in amongst the trees and that, where I suppose the West Indians and that had come down. But we flew out to Infall. From there, we were reorganised and we were sent out to a spot halfway between Dimapur and for a rest period, and it was Christmas. Well, it was coming up to Christmas anyway. We had a fair rest there. Done all sorts of things. I remember running a 3-mile race for C Company against other companies. Played football. We got our rations up because we were allowed. One of us was allowed half a bottle of whiskey, or not. I mean, you had to buy it, but your ration was half a bottle of whiskey or a bottle of whiskey, you know. And the troops got their rations as well, and the cigarettes, such as they were.
What type of cigarettes did you get?
Oh, they were not British. They were, oh, I forget what they were. And I wasn't a smoker. Well, I wasn't a smoker as such. I did have one or two, but they were rubbish, really. I can't even remember the name of them.
Did you trade your cigarettes then, as not being a smoker?
Yeah. Oh, well, I used to give them away. It's the same as my ration. We used to get together in like a little sergeant's mess and have a, in the open or whatever, in the tent, and have a get together. And of course, at Christmas, at that particular time, they got to the usual thing where the officers and the sergeant majors and the senior ranks waited on the men. And it was really a good break, that was, before, of course, we went back in again.
For your Christmas celebrations, can you remember what you had for Christmas lunch?
Oh, no. It's better than what we've been having, I know that. No, we must have had a good meal. I can't remember what it was. I have got a photograph of it somewhere. But, no, it was good.
And did you feel, after this rest period, did you feel it had been very beneficial for you?
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, to think that I run a 3-mile road race. We came off the top where we were down onto the Tidham Road, or the Infell Road, not Dimapur Road. We went sort of a mile and a half up the road and back again. And then we had to go up the hill and hand over to somebody else. It was sort of a relay race. And I remember getting to the top of the hill and flaking out in the tent. But there you are. It was really a good rest period. Yeah.
Were you getting new drafts of recruit of well replacements in at that period?
Well, all through the period we got different people at different times. We had the Welsh, so a lot of Welsh lads came and joined us. I'm not certain where they joined us, but all through the period we were able to get a few reinforcements. I remember the Welsh people coming, these Welsh lads, quite good. And funny enough, that road race, I'll run out against a Welshman who was a runner in peacetime. And that, he gave me a good idea. But there you are.
So where did you move back? How did you move back from this area into the front line?
How did we move back? We went back in towards where all the pagodas were. The main advance in Burma had gone while we were resting. They'd gone there. I think they were around Mandalay and where we actually went in was Maktila. We rejoined the forces, and the fighting forces at Maktila. We'd gone down, I think we went down in lorries. I remember going down to this, where the big pagodas were. Can't remember the name of the town. But we crossed the river there and went on to Machtela.
So the Irrawaddy had already been crossed at that point?
Right. Yeah. It was at Machtela where we really started to get organised again for the push down to Rangoon.
Were you organised differently than you'd been before on the Tidim Road?
Yeah, well, there, I mean, it was tanked. I mean, when you met the other people who were in Machtela, I mean, they had tanks and, you know, all the transport. Although we'd come down to the pagodas in lorries. Where they come from, I don't know. But we went across where these pagodas were and down to Machtela. And we met, I remember meeting a tank there. Well, we harboured up, and we had jeeps, or the battalion had jeeps, because there was three of our officers, or the signal sergeant, and two officers. They got their jeep struck a landmine or whatever, and blew up, and killed two or three. Might have killed all three of them, I don't know. But at that particular time, there was a tank quite near to us, and there was automatic, or there was a rifle fire. Of course, everybody takes cover. And we heard this tank open up machine gun. And when he looked out, up in this tree was a Jap. It looked as though he'd tied a sniper. It looks like he tied himself to the tree. Just, and that, we've mentioned before about the attitude of the chaps. I mean, they were quite prepared to give their lives for the country. But the tank had actually pinpointed him and took him out. But that was one little instance there. He could have caused a lot of trouble.
Did you still have the mules with you?
No, we didn't. No, because from there on, it was a matter of one division going through another, straight down. Because of the monsoons coming again, they wanted to take Rangoon, apparently, before the monsoons actually broke. And they weren't worried about Japs left and right of the road. The idea was to go straight down the main road, and villages or towns on the way down they just took, and we went straight through. But in a matter of 7th through, 5th through, and so forth, you all took your turn.
And would you then travel either in jeeps or on the back of the tanks?
No, we were in mainly in lorries going down. And you were stacked in the lorries, if I remember right. There's about 20 or 30 of you in the back of a lorry. But it's a matter of just follow the leader, really, because... and then at around about 4 o'clock, you'd harbour up. All your soft call would be in, and your battalion, infantry battalion, would be on the outside. And you send out your patrols from there, and on occasion we found the odd Jap, and we had one or two casualties there. I believe I mentioned to you some other time. We got up in the morning, or we stood to in the morning out of your trenches, the chap in near to me was had his mist in with rubber water and having a shave, and he was hit straight through the head with one shot and of course killed him. Straight away we all stood to, and we sent out patrols, and we found this chap underneath the cover of the chong. I didn't, but they had patrolled it and brought him in, and from then on it set a precedence that when you stood two fighting patrols out in the front of you, you made sure that nobody's in front of you. Getting back to this, going down to Rangoon, at one stage we had a training period where we were going to cross this, I don't know what it was, I don't know, it was a river or something or other, this water, and I remember we were told to take our trousers off, whether they were thin khaki trousers, tie the bottoms of your legs up and slap them over the top of your head on the water, and you'd have a couple of water wings. Your legs would fill up with air, and they expected you to go across them. I mean, that was another thing that I always remember that. But fortunately, we never had to do it because they came in from the sea.
Did it work as a technique? Did it work as a technique? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could. It was amazing, really, because the trousers, the two legs filled up with air, and you put one arm through and one arm through, and you just paddled through. And you could get across a small chong, or not a hand. You could get across the hand. A non-swimmer could do that. I mean, I wouldn't have swim. But, I don't know whether you could do it with your ordinary clothes or not, but these were more or less airtight as the material. And they stayed up for quite a while.
So, with your moving down, could you describe, say, a daily routine that you would have on the Advance?
Daily routine. Well, when you harbour up at night, 4 o'clock, or around about that time, depending on, it might be a little bit early if they got held up further on with the chap. But you get your positions out, dig your trench, and then by that time the cookhouse would probably got your grub going and whatever, and you'd have some food, and then you'd stand to at night, just before it got dusk. Stand to, stand down, post your sentries, and then during the night you would change your sentries, where you, each man in his own trench, you would take it in turn to one to have a kip and one to have a lookout. And then before it got light in the morning, you'd stand to. And that's when you had to be on your guard. Because although there wasn't Japs in front of you, what caused the trouble was trying to infiltrate back from where they'd been overtaken further back in the hill. And you stand to, and then you do stand down, and then you have your wash if you could, and breakfast, pack up, ready to move off. And it was like that all the way through. You'd harbour up and away in the morning. And I think I mentioned before, at one stage they had a bulldozer, they knocked the paddy buns down, and a little Lysander aircraft come in with the Yanks. They bring in probably some mail, because mail was one of the things really that kept the spirits going, really. I mean, I always look forward to my letters, although we couldn't send letters out. I mean, you never had time to write them, for one thing. And then they would take out if they got a stretcher case or a couple of walking wounded, they would take them out. But the old Yanks, they done a good job there, and they were always looking for souvenirs. If you've got a Jap sword or a flag, call they give you whatever they got, you know, cigarettes they would give you, or they buy them off you. But, I had a Jap flag taken off of one of the section leaders of the Japanese. I found it in his pack, and I had to hand it in, because on the Jap flag sometimes they could give you what battalion or what who they actually belonged to, or they were personal flags which they got their own relations in Japanese, although I couldn't read it. But you had to hand in anything like that, so it might give information regards to what unit you were against. And mine happened to be his own relations at the time, and they gave it back to me, and I was able to send that home by registered post. You'd be surprised, really, you could do this. And I sent it home. But somewhere along the line, it's gone adrift. Now, I'm not certain whether I gave it to the British Legion at Bletchingley, or whether my son and I finched it or not, but I've lost it. One of the lads had a sword, Japanese sword, Eagle, yeah. The old American pilot, he was well aware. He took that with great enjoyment, really. But no, on the whole, you see, these little things, the Lysanders, they got no, I don't think they've got any guns on, they haven't got any guns on them, really. They just flew in ever so low to the pad where they knocked the paddy bun down and gone.
And what would happen when you were moving forward if you encountered Japanese? What would there be a procedure that you would follow?
Well, we're moving forward down and we'd harbour up, and then reports would come in probably that there's Japs in a village and what have you. And at that stage, as I said, we had tanks, and we'd have to send out fighting patrols to these villages, and we went on one on the back of tanks. The back of the tank was red hot, I remember that, because the engines, and when you got near to the village, we debustled the back of the tanks and spread out and follow the tank in, mainly, just to give the tank protection, because they were protected better than we were. And they would open fire on, if there's a basher there, they'd set in the light and might kill one or two cats. But we followed them in. Unfortunately, the tanks done the work for us. And once the village was clear, on the back of the tanks and back to your company. Report, it's all clear, and carry on as normal. It was fighting patrols out from your box when you're harboured up at night. If you got held up on the main advance down the road, I'm not certain what happened. I expect the same thing happened with the tank. They would go out and come in from the side. Or again, you had artillery. Then, because it was a sort of more of an armoured column making straight down the road, they did get held up one or two towns, but we never got involved. C Company, funny enough. Again, we were lucky.
And with that, would you have at this stage started to encounter Japanese prisoners? I mean, I know you mentioned that you'd taken something from a Japanese dead, but would you have encountered many prison.
We didn't, as such, but there would have been, well, the forward troops, you know, because you weren't always forward troops. I mean, even if the 4th Battalion, if we were leading battalion, it could be A Company who was first, and so forth. And the time you took for being in the advanced company, it was few and far between, really, because there's the Raj puts they would come through, and then the 7th, I think it was the 7th Division, they would come through us and take over the lead. So overall, there's only a certain part of the column that got involved with the forward troops. So you were lucky to get away with anything at all.
And as you were moving forward, were the Japs retreating in front of you on the road, or were they still at the sides?
They were mainly at the sides, because they were up in the hills, and we more or less cut them off by going down the main road. And at night time, they would filter through over the main road to get back into, where would it be?
So you're going back into Thailand?
That's right, that side. But again, I don't think anybody worried about it too much. They just let them go. Except at a later time, when the actual war was finished, well, more or less finished, we were in Rangoon, and they'd landed in Rangoon, and was doing the armistice thing, or they were signing, and all the troops, Japanese troops, were left in the hills. They were then trying to get back across the road, and at that stage our battalion was ordered out up to these tracks to try and cut them off, and that they had one or two nasty little skirmishes there. But I was lucky again at that stage, because the war in Europe was over, and what is nearly over, we were offered a chance to go to Missouri, to Indian, to the British tea planters. They offered to take us in. My colour sergeant and I were two that were detailed to go.